Let's enjoy today's message by Sam Adeyemi.
James chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. Let's go. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Let's title this, Service is Faith in Action. Service is faith in action. There's a statement that I hear once in a while. They say that some people are so heavenly minded, they are of no earthly use. And that's talking about some Christians. Their focus is on heaven. Heaven. Okay? Heaven. And they're so heavenly minded, they are of no earthly use. However, when I think of that statement, it sounds to me like a contradiction. That is, when you truly understand scriptures. If you are truly heavenly minded, you will be of earthly use. When you read the New Testament very well, you see that your spirituality will always move you to impact on your environment. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's God's intention. That's how Jesus taught us to pray. If you ever have a vision of heaven, you will want to make the earth to look like that. The core of Christ's message was repent, or change your thinking, change your way of life. The kingdom of heaven is here. That's it. So no one could understand heaven better than he could. And he was the one who felt this sense of urgency about bringing heaven down here. There are no sicknesses and diseases in heaven, so he healed people's sicknesses here. There is no poverty in heaven. He multiplied bread for people to eat. Okay? Whatever you can't find in heaven is not supposed to be found here. If you are truly heavenly minded, you will be of earthly good or earthly use. In James chapter 1, verses 26 to 27. I'm just reminding us of where we started from. It says, James 1, 26 to 27. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is what? Useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. To do what? To visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Interesting. So if truly a man or a woman is godly, it will move them to touch people in a very special way. Let me read James chapter 2, which we read from other translations of the Bible. I'll pick Amplified Bible and the Message Bible. Amplified Bible, James 2, 14 to 17. What is the use or profit, my brethren, for anyone to profess to have faith if he has no good works to show for it? Can such faith save his soul? If a brother or sister is poorly clad and lacks food for each day, and one of you says to him, goodbye, keep yourself warm and well fed without giving him the necessities for the body, what good does that do? So also faith, if it does not have works, that is deeds and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power, inoperative, and what? And dead. Okay, let me read the Message Bible. The Message Bible. This is James chapter 2. Good. 14 to 17. Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half-starved and say, good morning, friend. Be clothed in Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Verse 17. Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? Okay, good. Religion that is interested in the state of man's soul and spirit, but not in his physical condition, is useless religion. Look at the words again. Look at the words again. Okay, from the various verses. Dead, inoperative, useless, and then that one, outrageous, what? Nonsense. Your Christianity that does not move you to do something about someone who is hungry is useless Christianity. It's dead Christianity. Heaven does not recognize that kind of Christianity. Wow. If you are spiritual, you will be practical. That's what James 2 is saying. Faith without corresponding action or faith without corresponding works, good works, is dead. D-O-A, dead on arrival. Some of the most seemingly pious people and leaders of Jesus' day were the most uncaring. That's what we were reading last week from Luke chapter 10. The story of the Samaritan. It's interesting today that we qualify him as the good Samaritan. But please read the story very well. You will not see that Jesus used the word good. It's because the man's actions were better than that of most of us. That's why we qualified him as good. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said a certain Samaritan. We call him the good Samaritan. What he was doing was supposed to be normal. That the man was traveling down on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, armed robbers attacked the man, injured him, took all his things away. They said a priest came by, saw him there, wounded, and crossed over to the other side of the road and moved on to attend the service. They said that a Levite, I mean, these are people chosen specially by God to carry out assignments in the house of God. A Levite, you know, also came, saw him, and moved on. That it was a Samaritan. Okay, an outcast, so to speak, at that point in time, as far as the Israelites were concerned, it was the one that took him to an inn, caused him to be bandaged, poured oil on his wound, paid the innkeeper to take care of him until he would come back. And Jesus said that because somebody asked him, which is the greatest commandment? He said, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And this person said to him, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Don't let's leave it on a vague dimension. Who is my neighbor? And that's why Jesus told him this story and asked him, so who was neighbor to the man who was wounded in this case? He said, it was a Samaritan. He said, you too, go and do like that. Do likewise. Okay? I wonder if Jesus, you know, would physically come today. Spiritually, he is looking at his church. But physically speaking, if he would show up like he did then, what would he think about us? What would he have to say to us? Is there a possibility that he would be as frustrated with the religious people of his day? Is there a possibility that he would be as frustrated with us as he was with the religious people of his day? This was Jesus speaking. And he was saying it the way it was. That the spiritual leaders of his day had become uncaring. They had forgotten what spirituality and what godliness was all about. They had taken it into a very vague and superstitious dimension. And you know, when spiritual leaders operate on that dimension, they lead the rest of the people in church into that dimension, where church is meeting together within the four walls of a building, having an awesome experience, praising God, dancing, hearing powerful messages, and then people go home and they leave all of that experience in church and carry on with their normal lives, not caring for other people. And he said, James 1 said, this is pure religion and undefiled. How about the widows among you? How about the orphans in the community? The disciples of Jesus did not have any doubts as to what they were supposed to do. As soon as Jesus left and the power of the Holy Spirit came on them, you see them in Acts chapter 2. They didn't have to preach to them to do it, sir. It was part and parcel of the Christianity that was delivered to them that they should ensure that nobody went to bed hungry, not only in the church, but in the community. They were selling their lands and their houses to make sure nobody went to bed hungry in the community. And at the end of the day, the Bible says that God gave them favor with all the people, and people were running into church. It's not difficult to see why. The most desperate need for anybody is for food. Amen. But see the description in James chapter 2. See what Christianity evolves into over time. It says somebody comes to you, he's putting on poor clothes, he's not eating all day. He says what you want to say to him is, be warmed and be filled. That sounds like the messages that I hear this day. Amen. Oh, God will do it for you. I said he will do it for you. And in the name of Jesus, I prophesy, be filled, be warm in Christ, be filled. And of course, oh, you know what the church members themselves will do? Preach it, pastor, preach it. Oh, this pastor is preaching to me, man. Preach it. There is someone there who has not eaten. That's not a church. That's a clubhouse, an entertainment center. If there are people who are going to bed hungry, people in that service who don't know what they're going to eat, and there's no one who would care enough to give them something to eat. That's not Christianity. That's not faith. That's fake. It's not the real thing. I'm telling you, God's given us a template that can transform any society, revolutionize any society. I promise you, if you allow someone who was shouting in that service or someone who doesn't know what to eat, who's attending that service, to go home, and it is an armed robber that gives the person food, that armed robber will have more influence over that person's life than you will with all your preaching. We have a template that can transform the world if we will use it. Those that Jesus left behind had a culture of solving basic practical problems for people in the society. God didn't say man shall not live by bread at all. He said man shall not live by bread alone. We don't have any excuses to say that our business is to meet people's spiritual problems only. That's our assignment as the church. Any other problems that they have as their business. That is not what God meant in the Bible. We need to run hunger out of town. The least you and I can do, see, is to be sensitive to the people around us and to look for opportunities to meet basic needs in people's lives. When someone has not eaten for 3 days, the person's prayer point cannot be, Lord, give me a car. Food. The most basic need. I'm serious. As long as you and I are in this city, no one should go to bed hungry. Amen. As long as you and I, God is not in this city. If someone will go to bed hungry, the proof to someone that God exists is for there to be a godly person in the neighborhood who can show up with a bag. It's either cooked food or uncooked food, but something to help that family get through that day or a few days. You know, it's a critical part of our ministry in our church that we have a stand on Sundays where people can go. And all of our cell leaders know also that if they are aware of anyone in their neighborhood who does not have food to eat, any family, that they go there to collect food. We have a bank, food bank. They go to collect food to take to such families. It's the least that the Church of Christ should do. But I'll tell you one thing. Once we get that part, God helps us to do even better than that. Amen? Let me wrap it up from Acts chapter 4. You'll see. In Acts chapter 2, which I quoted earlier on, the Bible says that none of the people... Okay, let me read Acts chapter 2 from verse 44. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. You roll over to Acts chapter 4 and you see something very interesting. Okay, from verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Verse 33, and what? Let's read together. Verse 33, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Then verse 34 says, nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. Isn't this very interesting? The power was flowing with the distribution. The power was flowing with the distribution. Jesus saw a crowd, took the responsibility to feed the crowd, had only five loaves of bread and 2 fish from a young boy. Power showed up, sir. Power showed up. We have not seen anointing yet. The purpose of the anointing is not just for people to be falling down in church. If they fall down with empty stomachs, stand up with empty stomachs, go home on empty stomachs, anointing won't last. The effects of the anointing will not last in their lives. Listen, once you had a church where people were free from selfishness and self-centeredness, that's the purpose of church, sir. We will not realize our destiny as a church if we think that the purpose of a church is for me to show up on Sunday and just to get, and to get, and to get, because I must break through. You see, many people are breaking down. Instead of breaking through, they are breaking down. With all the prayers and all the vegetable oil by pouring on their head, it's not working. Because the anointing and greed don't work together. The anointing and selfishness don't work together. There is one that scatters and yet increases. There is the one that withholds more than is necessary. It results in what? Poverty. Spiritual plus physical poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat. He that waters others will be watered also. As poor as you think you are, there is something you can give someone close by. It may be a pair of shoes. It may be a shirt. It may be just a cup of rice, but there's something you can give someone. And until you break through that level, your journey is still very long. It's not a curse. It's the reality. It's truth. It's interesting that people who are not godly, some people who are not godly understand this even better than many of us who say we are. And with that, they are having strangleholds on the political structure in our country. And all they do is put some little cash in their boot, go around towns distributing money to people who are impoverished by the system. Nobody should do that better than we do. Put the food in our boats and go around town distributing them. They give loaves of bread to people, put some naira notes in between. We too can give out the bread, can't we? It's interesting that sometimes we're the ones that sit down and criticize them. Don't mind them. They'll be cooking food in their house. Then people will go there. That's why they have the influence. Interesting. When it was church that did that in Acts of the Apostles, people should come and line up in front of your door. If that's the only place where they will get free food on the street, they should come and line up in front of your door. Okay. This is where your career in politics is going to start from. This is where your career in business is going to start from. That you understand how to recognize people's needs and meet those needs from a basic level. Your prayer for promotion, this is where it's going to start from. It's not difficult. It's just that ignorance blinds us sometimes, and we don't see things that are very obvious. And for someone, this is what's going to preserve your life. Because some people will be praying that you must not die. Because if you die, they will die. So you will have people praying, if they hear you have headache, they will kill the devil on your behalf. I'm telling you, because you have value. This week, do something. Amen? Do something. Jesus told his disciples, tell people to sit down in small groups. We may not have enough to fill the whole crowd at once. Let's start from somewhere.